Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. Welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. This is episode 75, the first one of 2026. Host today, Marty Jones, edited and produced by Owen Woods. And our guests today include Dalton Carleo and Shauna Lees. Before we go any farther, I want to be sure to acknowledge Don Richmond for the music that you hear during the podcast, and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. So, today our guests include Dalton Carleo, the recreation manager for Alamosa Parks and Recreation, and Shauna Lees, the outdoor rec supervisor and grant coordinator, also for Alamosa Family Recreation. And we're here today, initially at least, to talk about the Rio Frio Ice Fest coming up in just a few weeks, a few short weeks. So thank you guys for joining us today, and welcome to the new year. How were your holidays?
Holidays were a good time this year. I certainly can't complain with them.
This is your baby's first Christmas, is that right?
That is correct. Yes, it was very fun. New experience for me and my wife to have him in a new addition to the family and all the festivities.
Yeah, cool. And Shauna, how about your holidays?
It was pretty good. Can't really complain about anything.
Yeah, excellent. Did you get a chance to be outside at all during these holiday times?
I was outside a little bit. I partook in the downtown light parade, went and saw light parade up in Denver as well. No extenuous recreating, but just the overall festivities of what was going on.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. We had some really nice weather, and so I took the opportunity to go on some fun runs and then just get some hiking in, so it was a good time.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, the weather has been pretty nice for bicycling. Both on the road and on the trails here in the city. And that's one of the nice things about the city of Alamosa and the things that you guys have done is make these trails accessible for folks, regardless of what the weather is like. It can be a little chilly or warm, and people are outside recreating. So the Rio Frio Ice Fest coming up pretty soon. What are the dates? Can you guys remind us of those?
This year's Ice Festival is January 23rd through 25th. So yeah, here in a couple weeks, coming very quickly.
And the weather, you know, unlike the popular song about the weather outside being frightful, the weather outside is actually pretty delightful right now. So are we going to have ice for the Rio Frio Ice Festival?
We shall see. Like you said, we'd rather see frightful weather this time of year, those below zeros. Right now, the river is wide open. The pond maybe has a couple of inches. So we are praying for some a couple more days or a week's worth of very cold weather, which forecasts are not looking too promising as of right now.
Although the long range forecast for this weekend is calling for lows that are below zero.
Okay.
Like minus six, minus three, you know, those are, that's a good trend.
It's
we just
start.
Hope it continues.
It's certainly a start.
Yeah.
We're thinking really icy thoughts.
Are you?
Yeah, we might go throw ice cubes in the river. I mean, like, that's a real thing, you know, try to encourage it to freeze a little bit.
I think, Owen, didn't you say something a little bit ago about maybe some dry ice in the river?
Yeah, just a bunch of dry ice in the river, just, you know, for fun.
Yeah.
I didn't see why not.
Well, the only reason not to do that would be because it'll increase the acidity of the water. Yeah, make a little carbonic acid in the Rio Grande. But it's a dilute solution, so I don't think it'll hurt the aquatic life. So tell us a little bit more about the Rio Frio. Just go through what is involved and what the participants in the Ice Fest can expect.
Yeah, so the primary event for the Rio Frio Ice Festival is the Rio Frio 5K on Ice, is what we've been referring to for most of this with the river. This will be the 12th rendition of the Rio Frio 5K.
12 already?
It is,
wow.
Yeah. Actually, the Ice Festival itself predates itself before that, so this will be the 16th annual Ice Festival, but only the 12th Rio Frio 5K. Jeff Owsley was actually the one that started the Rio Frio 5K back in like 2014. He was an avid outdoorsman. He kind of saw how the river froze and he wanted to test it out one time. He went and ran on it, and he ran with the ideas for us to continue with the tradition of the Rio Frio 5K.
Yeah, excellent. But there's more than just that as a part of the Ice Fest.
Absolutely. So the Friday before the Ice Fest, we actually have hopefully some cross-country skiing going on, which would be absolutely wonderful. And that's from 6 to 8 p.m.
Do your snow dances,
right?
Everybody.
Absolutely. And then aside from just the 5K on ice, I mean, we also have ice carving demonstrations that we're going to have. I think there's going to be like a fun cornhole tournament for the kids zone we're going to have in the afternoon. We've got some really fun things planned, and those fun things will be dependent on whether or not we have snow and how cold the weather is. But either way, it'll be a fun thing.
Yeah, we also have our happy hour on San Juan Ave that'll lead into the Fire and Ice bonfire. So Scott Graber and SLV Brewery will be hosting the happy hour. And then there at 6:30 on Saturday the 24th, we'll have the Fire and Ice bonfire. I know that's a very well-attended event that the community really enjoys. It's a really unique aspect to the event.
It is a really cool event. I mean, fire and ice, how much better can it get? There's a big pillar of wood, a big stack of wood, and ice blocks, and
yeah, it's essentially an ice chimney is what it is, and it certainly does put some good flames out, and it's a crowd pleaser for sure.
Yeah, and in years past, I know there have been people flying drones over it, and so there's some really interesting photos. That aerial photos that I've seen in the past. So how do people sign up for the 5K?
That'll be on rioraces.com, and then you'll just click on the Rio Frio 5K at the top of the header.
Okay, and what do they get? Is there some swag that comes along with this?
Yeah, for this race, there is a swag bag that comes with your registration. You can purchase a shirt. We've actually passed the shirt deadline to get orders in, but you can purchase a shirt at the race itself for $15. The sponsors are very generous and give us a bunch of goodies to throw into the race bag. So yeah, get signed up, get your swag bag, and purchase a shirt at the race.
And registration is only $25 until the 18th. And then after the 18th, it goes up to $30. And so you get a nice discount if you do it early.
And where do they pick up the packet, the race packet, and at what times?
So the Friday before, you can do it at Kneeknockers from 6 to 7:30. And then the day of the race, you can do it at Cole Park, I believe from 8 to 9:30 when the race starts.
And so the course for the race is going to start at Cole Park?
It'll start and finish at Cole Park.
Okay.
All dependent on weather. So if we have a freezing river, it'll start on the river, end on the river at Cole Park. Then if it's not frozen, we'll have an alternate race that hopefully utilizes Blanca Vista Pond. If that isn't feasible either, then we'll use the levee system and our trail system.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Excellent. And regardless of what the course is, it'll be a fun race to be out there in the weather and enjoy the camaraderie of all the other racers. Do people for this dress up in costumes?
Absolutely. And we absolutely encourage it even more. I think that's kind of like the fun thing to do while you're out there, see what everybody else is dressed as you go. And this year, the theme is Legends on Ice, which is really just phenomenal, because what you can do with that is you can be, you know, a fun little 80s Olympian in your nice little armbands or handbands or something, or, you know, you can pick a legend that you love and dress as them. And so I think Legends on Ice is a really good time for people to dress up.
So speaking of Legends on Ice, do you have any favorite Legends on Ice? Our producer and editor, Owen, was a big fan of the former Av player Ian LaPierre, mainly for the broken noses and cauliflower ear. Who comes to mind for you guys?
Oh, Patrick Waugh, man. Like a goalie coming out and just beating somebody else up in center ice. Like hands down, best goalie of all time.
I'm going more towards Olympians. Paulo Ono, I really enjoyed watching him skate during all the Olympics.
Yeah. I guess I would have to go with some of the legends, like Jean-Claude Killy, French skier, and coming back this year, Lindsey Vonn, Michaela Schifrin, just all these skiers doing so well. And then Billy Kidd from Colorado. This is, again, before your time. Steamboat, and from he was from the Steamboat area and always skied. I mean, not in the Olympics, but when he skis, he wears a cowboy hat. Pretty cool for this part of the country. Any other legends on ice?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
How about you, Owen? Any besides that Av player?
You know, I was just thinking, I just had watched Eddie the Eagle the other day.
Oh, ski jumper.
So I was thinking about Eddie the Eagle and that whole timeline and period. But I mean, to be honest with you though, my personal favorite is Shaun White. I mean, I grew up watching the X Games, and so I mean, he's a legend of the snow, but snow ice, you know, what's the difference? But yeah, Shaun White for sure.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one. Some pretty amazing feats that they can come up with. So what can folks expect to find around town during the Rio Frio weekend?
So this year, there'll be a maker's market at Milagro's Coffee House from 2 to 6 p.m., so that'll be a good vendor's market for individuals to come up.
Is that on Saturday or Friday?
That is on Saturday, January 24th, yeah, there at Milagro's Coffee House. And that'll be a good vendor's market for individuals to come and see some of the local artists and possibly purchase some of their items. Also downtown, we'll have the ice carving demonstrations going on Main Street. Those will be in the same location as last year. They're in front of the district attorney's office, Alamosa Home, and Alamosa School District building there on Main Street on the south side.
And that's always a really cool thing to watch. I shouldn't say I can't believe. I can believe because I see it with my own eyes how talented these folks are carving those huge blocks of ice. It's really cool to see the ice blocks get trucked in and stacked on top and just these huge cubes, blocks of ice, formless until they start to work their magic on them and then turn into who knows what they're going to be.
Yeah, our ice carving professionals, Colorado Ice Works, do a great job. They've been a contract that we've been established with for quite a few years now, and they do a tremendous job every single year, and we're very, very happy with the product that they produce.
And it brings a lot of people downtown, especially families with little kids, because the kids really enjoy watching the ice carving as well.
They do, yeah.
So what else do we have?
So Sunday, there's going to be a polar plunge and an ice carousel at Blanca Vista. So if you're in the mood to be crazy with your whole community, come jump in the ice. It's going to be tons of fun. Hopefully, we get more people this year than last year. The goal is to always break a record. So how many people did we have last year? Do you remember?
For the plunge or for the 5K?
For the plunge.
For the plunge, last year, I think we had about 30 to 35 individuals do it.
Oh, so let's get like over 100 this year. And like, everybody come out and join us. That'll be exciting.
So, Shauna, are you going to jump through a hole in the ice into the water?
Absolutely. Why not? It's a good opportunity, and it's the only time of year to do it, so you might as well. There's also, on the whole day Saturday, there's a receipt raffle that's digital, if you want to explain that, Dalton.
Yeah, so the Alamosa Chamber of Commerce will be doing a receipt raffle where I think it's every $10 spent is then every $10 spent enters you a receipt to a digital raffle for I think it's Chamber Bucks that they're doing, and then you'll just have to submit that to their Gmail address that they hand out at the event, and you enters you into to win some Chamber Bucks.
So on Saturday downtown, is there like a central clearinghouse where you can get all this information?
Usually we have San Juan Ave dedicated as an informational tent area. This year we've actually transitioned that to Cole Park. So from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. we'll kind of have an info tent, and then we'll probably have a little bit of a presence there on San Juan for the cornhole tournament to be able to answer any questions that are going on.
Will the tournament be right there on San Juan?
It will, yeah.
Very good. So how many racers do you have already signed up for the 5K? And if you can estimate what you're hoping for?
Yeah, as of this morning, we had 110 racers currently registered.
Oh, that's good.
It is very good numbers, but not our best. Last year, I think we had about 330. The all-time high number that we've had for participants is about 350. So obviously we'd like to eclipse last year's number as well as that max number that we've seen for the event.
Yeah, so if you are listening to this podcast, remember that although it's advertised as a race, you don't have to actually race it competitively. It's a fun time to get out. And in years past, there have been walkers. Can people bring pets if they want to have a pet with them?
Absolutely. We'd love to see dogs out there. And if you want to put your dog in a costume too, you're more than welcome to. That's just as much fun.
And you could bring a cat too, right?
My cat if
you
wanted. Actually walks on a leash. And so you can absolutely bring a cat. I'm not sure how fond they'll be of the dogs being around, but if you can get your cat to walk on the ice, go ahead.
And last year there was a donkey.
Yeah, we have had an individual reach out multiple times about allowing his donkey to race with them.
That is so cool. How did I not see that last year? Do you have a photo of that?
I do. I have a video.
A video.
Yep. Yep. He was cool. He loved everybody. Dogs loved him. He was great. He wore a little beanie.
So is that person coming back? Do you know, has that person already pre-registered?
I am not sure. I can't recall that individual's name. I guess we shall find out the day of the race.
I guess. So what time do people start gathering at Cole Park on Saturday the 24th?
Most people will end up picking up their package usually the day of, because it's just more convenient for them to pick it up. But usually most folks start showing up around 9:15, 9:30, start getting stretched. Yeah, you even have some individuals that'll run the race course before the race. Those are those crazy ones.
The hardcore racers.
Very hardcore, yeah. But usually most people start showing up there around 9:30.
And the race actually starts at 10 then?
Yes, it does. And you can pick up the packets at the Alamosa Senior Center in the morning of the race.
Okay. Yeah, that's at the north end of Cole Park.
Yeah.
And so that's where the info tent be close to the north end of the park as well?
It'll be on the north end there by like the baseball field, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Excellent. So if the river doesn't freeze solid enough by race day, or when will you know, what's the cutoff? When will you know whether the river can be utilized as the race course?
We're currently monitoring it now. As we said earlier, that is fully flowing, so there is no current freeze of it. We usually make a decision like that Monday or Tuesday, the week of the event.
Okay, so that way the racers will know more than just the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So anything new this year that hasn't been done in years past?
The Cornhole Tournament is new this year, and the Makers Market is new this year.
And if people want to participate in the Makers Market, how do they sign up for that?
You can reach out to me directly at the City of Alamosa Parks and Recreation, and I can get you that contact information.
All right. So what is your email address?
It is dcarleo@alamosa.gov.
And that's C-A-R-L-E-O.
Yes, sir.
Right. And Shauna, what's your contact information?
It's SLEASE at alamosa.gov.
Okay. So if you are interested in any of this, if you have further questions, contact either Dalton or Shauna, and they'll be sure that you get the correct information. Any final thoughts about the Rio Frio before we move on to another topic?
No, just join us for the overall festivities of the event. We look forward to seeing you out there. Racing, plunging, cornholing, whatever.
Fire
and icing, whatever your enjoyment might be, yeah.
Yeah. Come down, at the very least, come down to see the ice carving. And if we are fortunate enough to have some freezing cold weather between now and then, and the river does freeze up, the pedestrian bridge in Cole Park is an excellent place to watch the race. If you don't want to run or walk it yourself, come watch it. It's a really fun thing. All right. Well, let's shift gears just a little bit, because the City of Alamosa has just gotten a recent grant that's going to permit the construction of some pretty exciting things down at Cole Park. And wonder if you can share a little bit of that information for those who are unfamiliar.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the summer of this year, we applied for what's called the Great Outdoors Colorado, the GOCO Community Impact Grant. And what we had done was we had done some really good work working with some community entities in the Mean Moose group from the Alamos Elementary School and designing what we would want an ADA accessible playground to look like. And while we were discussing these fun community components, there was also, you know, a talk about the bike park that we have. I don't know if you've been out there, but our dirt pump track is a little bit... outdated. And so as part of that, we applied for a grant to literally redo all of Cole Park, or at least what we could. And so we got it. Luckily, GOCO was kind enough to give us the grant. And so we're going to take out the whole playground at Cole Park and replace that with a fully ADA accessible playground. And so we're super excited for that because all kids are going to be able to play together meaningfully. And then the bike park, I mean, the dirt is going to go away and that's all going to be asphalt. And the best part about that is that gives us the opportunity to offer some adaptive programming, especially for our youth who can't ride bikes, you know, in a traditional way. And so that's going to give them the opportunity to recreate like their friends do in a similar fashion. And so we're super excited to make, you know, Alamosa and Cole Park itself, you know, accessible for everybody, not just able-bodied individuals.
And when will construction start?
So this summer is when we're going to start construction on the actual bike park. And as soon as the bike park is finished, hopefully at the end of the summer, we'll get started on the construction of the actual ADA playground.
And the current bike park is at the north end of Cole Park. Will the ADA accessible playground be in that same general vicinity?
Will be in the same place that it is. We already installed really awesome, if you guys haven't been out there yet to check out the, we have a wheelchair swing that we already installed next to the current playground. And so the playground that's next to the wheelchair swing, that'll be replaced with the ADA one.
So that's about in the center of Cole Park on the west side.
Yeah, right where there's that nice little parking lot next to it. So that way, if you do have to use a wheelchair to get to the playground, you still have that nice accessible parking.
Yeah, excellent. So we can expect the playground to be finished by
fall 2027?
Oh.
Yeah, the goal is to get it all done in 1 year.
Everything will be done. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Well, we've just about reached the end of our podcast episode. Do you guys have any final encouraging words or... For either the weather or for the participants for the upcoming Ice Fest?
I think either way, whether the river freezes or not, this race in the Ice Fest is going to be legendary. And so we hope that we have our legendary community members come out and hang out with us and enjoy the good time.
Yeah, and also like to say thank you to all of our sponsors that make this event happen. Like to, if it's okay with you, I'd like to thank some of those sponsors, our platinum sponsors you'll see listed out on the individual engraved blocks at each ice carving. Valley Courier has always been very generous for our event. XL Energy, Elk Mountain Financial, the Hampton Inn, Chaffa, and First Southwest Bank. These individuals are top tier sponsors and really make this event possible.
Great. My guests today have been the legendary Dalton Carlio and legendary Sean Elise. Thanks a lot for coming in and sharing the information. And everybody get signed up for the Rio Frio Ice Fest. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
The Southern Rocky Mountain Ag Conference is February 3rd through the 5th in Monta Vista at the spacious, comfortable, and professional Sky High Conference and Event Center. The theme, Managing the Chaos, Harnessing Complexity, Planting Hope, hits at the heart of what ag producers are facing these days in the San Luis Valley. The educational programs will feature a record 50 sessions, including talks, panels, and demonstrations. Register by contacting the SLV Area Extension Office at 719-852-7381. That's 719-852-7381 to register. The Southern Rocky Mountain Ag Conference, managing the chaos, harnessing complexity, planting hope. It's been a tough year for many folks in Monta Vista. As the holidays approach, a lot of us are feeling tired or anxious, but good things are still happening all around us. This year alone, the Lohr Foundation has partnered with your friends and neighbors to bring more than 75 community-driven projects to life, making things a little brighter here at home. Lore Fund's ideas designed and led by Monta Vista locals of all ages, no nonprofit experience required. Whether it's helping neighbors save time or money, supporting families, or creating something that brings people together, your ideas can make a real impact. All it takes to get started is a simple conversation. And once your idea is approved, most projects receive funding within 30 days. So let's close out the year stronger together. Visit lorefoundation.org or email yvette@lorefoundation.org to learn more.
All right, welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Here's some outdoor conditions. The normal low for the month of December is 0.8 degrees, but December of 2025 saw only one day where the low temperature was below zero and 15 days where the overnight low stayed in double digits, including a low of 26 degrees on Christmas morning. Yeah, I remember walking on Christmas morning thinking, this is just not right. It's way too warm. And later in the day, Christmas Day itself was the warmest on record with a daytime high of 61 degrees. A December average low in the double digits has only occurred once before in 2020 when the monthly low averaged 11.4 degrees. And we just have to hope, Owen, that these record warm months for the winter don't occur on a regular basis, that don't continue to occur. Well, moving from outdoor conditions to some news. A hiker was killed by a mountain lion on New Year's Day in Larimer County, Colorado, according to Colorado Parks and Wildlife. This is the first fatal mountain lion attack in Colorado in more than 25 years. On New Year's Day, two hikers found the body of 46-year-old Kristen Marie Kovach and a mountain lion nearby. They threw rocks at the mountain lion and eventually scared it off. One of the hikers was a physician and found no pulse on the woman. An autopsy confirmed that Kovach died from injuries sustained from a mountain lion attack. The Larimer County Coroner's Office listed Kovach's official cause of death, asphyxia due to external neck compression. Two mountain lions found in the immediate area were killed by CPW officials, and necropsy results determined that a one-year-old male euthanized by CPW had human DNA on all four of its paws. The second lion killed, a one-year-old female, had no human DNA traces. Kovach was hiking alone along a remote section of the Crozier Mountain Trail in the National Forest area south of Glen Haven. The area is a known home for many mountain lions, and five reports were made to the agency, including attacks and sightings, in the 9 weeks before Kovach was killed, CPW said. Any mountain lion sightings or conflicts should immediately be reported to CPW by contacting either the Denver office 303-291-7227 or the Fort Collins office at 970-472-4300 or the Colorado State Patrol at *CSP, that's *277. The United States Fish and Wildlife Service is threatening to step in on the management of gray wolves in Colorado. A letter sent to CPW on December 18th notified officials that unless two compliance issues under its memorandum of agreement with the federal government are not addressed within 60 days, all gray wolf conservation and management will be taken over by federal authorities. U.S. Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum, in the letter, told CPW that a complete report of all gray wolf conservation and management activities that have occurred since December 12, 2023, must be supplied to the Trump administration within 60 days, or the memorandum of agreement will be terminated. Relocation and lethal removal will fall under U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service guidance. The letter, obtained by the Coloradoan through a public records request, specifically cited noncompliance in the memorandum of agreement regarding the following actions. Between January 12th and January 18th, 2025, with no notice or warning to its own citizens, Colorado Parks and Wildlife released 15 wolves imported from Canada. On December 17th, 2025, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was informed that CPW recently released a wolf from a pack with a confirmed history of depredation. In an official post on X, Burgum said, quote, Colorado is prioritizing wolves over American ranchers. In January, they released 15 wolves into the wild with no warning and recently re-released a wolf from a pack known to kill livestock. This is a warning. If Colorado does not get control of the wolves immediately, we will. Unquote. The reference to a released wolf from a pack with a confirmed history of livestock depredation is Gray Wolf 2403, which was recently captured in New Mexico and transported back to Grand County. The individual wolf came from the Copper Creek pack, which indeed had a history of depredation, but the individual wolf has not been known to prey on livestock. Colorado Parks and Wildlife is now accepting hunter registrations for the bison roster, a list that may be used if special management licenses are needed to manage free-roaming wild bison that travel into Colorado. Under Senate Bill 25-053, free-roaming wild bison that naturally enter Colorado are managed as a big game species by CPW. While CPW is not proposing regular bison hunting seasons, the agency may issue special management licenses on a case-by-case basis for time-sensitive management needs, such as preventing property or agricultural damage. Hunters interested in the chance to receive one of these special licenses may sign up for the bison roster for calendar year 2026. If CPW determines that management action is necessary, hunters will be selected through a random drawing from the roster. If a hunter's name is drawn and they accept the license, they will have 1 week from the time the license is issued to harvest a bison. At this time, no regular bison hunting seasons are planned. The sign-up period is from January 1 to January 31, 2026, with a limit of one sign-up per person. You can register online through the Colorado Parks and Wildlife website. If a drawing is conducted, successful applicants will be notified by phone and email. Hunters will have 24 hours to respond and accept the license. For general questions about the bison roster, contact CPW at 303-297-1192. Governor Jared Polis, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, and Great Outdoors Colorado have announced more than $9.9 million in funding to support 18 regional partnerships working to advance conservation, outdoor recreation, and climate resilience goals aligned with Colorado's outdoor strategy. Of that $9.9 million, $394,000 was awarded to San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. The funds will support continued coalition capacity and on-the-ground conservation work in the San Luis Valley. This funding will support ongoing coordination among partners and a wildlife fencing project designed to improve habitat connectivity and protect sensitive ecosystems. The project will convert 12 miles of existing fence along the Colorado-New Mexico border to wildlife-friendly fencing, helping big game move through critical winter habitat, and construct fencing within the Rio Grande Natural Area to protect riparian habitat from overgrazing. In a press release, SLV Great Outdoors said, quote, Together, these investments highlight the power of regional partnerships to turn shared vision into action. From statewide conservation priorities to locally driven solutions in the San Luis Valley, today's funding demonstrates how collaboration, planning, and community engagement can deliver lasting benefits for Colorado's landscapes and the people who depend upon them. Unquote. Now, a look at some upcoming outdoor events. As you heard earlier on the podcast, the Rio Frio Ice Fest is nearly here. This year's theme is Legends of the Ice. The whole weekend is filled with events. Starting Friday, January 23rd, is the race packet pickup from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Nienacker's Tavern. That's at the Alamosa Golf Course, the Cattails Golf Course. And the cross-country Luminaria Ski at Blanca Vista Pond, starting at 6 p.m. Of course, that ski, that Luminaria ski event is wholly dependent upon whether we have snow or not. So, Owen, let's continue to do our snow dances.
Every day when I wake up and right before I go to bed, man.
Thank you. Your efforts are greatly appreciated.
I hope so. They're not paying off right now.
No, but we appreciate them.
I'm doing them.
Saturday starts with the Rio Frio 5K at Cole Park. You can pick up packets at Cole Park at starting around 8:30, I think is what it says here. No, 8 o'clock. You can start picking up the race packets on race day at the north end of Cole Park. That'll be at the Alamosa Senior Center. And then the race itself starts at 10 o'clock. Then during the day, we have ice carving demonstrations downtown, disc golf and cornhole tournaments, and of course, the fire and ice bonfire. Then Sunday, you can nurse your hangover while polar plunging with the mayor at Blanca Vista Fonds. And Ty Coleman, our mayor of Alamosa, has been a participant in the polar plunge every time it has been available.
And he's the first to go. Every year, he's the first to go, so more power to him.
And he is, he's dressed to the nines for this.
Yes, he is.
He's not wearing a wetsuit, you know.
Nope.
He takes the costume aspect of this very seriously. If you have any questions about the race or other events, contact the race director, Dalton Carleo, at dcarleo@alamosa.gov. To learn more, go to rioraces.com. The first SIP in Science is happening Friday, January 23rd at the Trade and Post in Del Norte. In collaboration with Trade and Post and the Rio Grande Headwaters Land Trust, SIP and Science and the SLV is a series that brings science, stewardship, and connection together in a fun setting. Each quarter follows a new theme inspired by the four elements: water, air, fire, earth, and features local experts sharing the science and stories behind the natural resources that shape life in the San Luis Valley. Their mission is to help people understand how these systems work and to offer pathways for becoming more involved in protecting the landscapes, wildlife, and water that make this place home. Events are donation-based and open to all. Starting at 6:30 p.m. at the Trade and Post at 560 Grande Avenue in Del Norte, engage in a led conversation about snow and how the snowpack impacts the valley. Join us for a drink and learn more about these natural resources, the locals who manage the resources, and how to get involved in our community. Some key discussion topics include how snowpack in the mountains feeds the river, aquifers, and wetlands, what's happening to snowmelt timing and annual flows, why the SLV's water system is unique, and why snow modeling matters so much. And coming up in March, the 43rd Annual Monte Vista Crane Festival, March 6th through 8th. celebrate as tens of thousands of sandhill cranes migrate through the San Luis Valley and fill the skies and the pastures with their prehistoric song and dance. Crafts, local art, speakers and tours. It's a weekend filled with community engagement and lots of birds. Saturday's keynote is by author and cartoonist Rosemarie Masko for a humorous exploration of birds that blends art, science, and history. Learn why cartoons can help conserve our beloved avifauna. Discover the shocking secrets of common species and what they can teach us about ourselves. Tickets are on sale now at mvcranefest.org. That's mvcranefest.org. And before we end our broadcast today, we just want to give a quick word of good luck to our friend Madeline Allborn as she moves on from her role as the Development and Communications Coordinator and Grant Writer for SLV Great Outdoors and into full-time work at the Monte Vista Church Project. It's a pretty exciting time. We wish her the best of success. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. The Outdoor Citizen is produced by Owen Woods, published by AlamosaCitizen.com. You can listen to the show wherever you stream your podcasts. If you have an outdoor adventure you'd like to share, or if there are topics you'd like to hear about in a future episode, send an email to info@AlamosaCitizen.com. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for his song Sea Turtle and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. And this is your host, Marty Jones, saying thanks for listening. Get outside and enjoy this wonderful winter weather that we're having. And please do some snow and cold weather dances so the Rio Frio Ice Fest can be on ice. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.